Welcome to the SVS Digital Learning Hour, brought to you by the Digital Learning Department. We're coming to you today from a conference room in Central Office, bringing you the latest news in Springfield Public Schools in regards to technology, along with inspiring interviews from teachers who are using technology in the classroom. I am your host, Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ad Guy. You can find me out on all the socials at Bearded Tech Ad, my personal website, beardedtechadguy.com, and of course, the digital learning page here on the MySPS network. I'm excited to jump into the next level with you, but first, we have just a few announcements. First and foremost, I want to recognize all of the award winners that we have in the district. 21 Springfield Public School educators have been selected to receive the 2024 Pioneer Valley Excellence in Teaching Award. The annual awards program honors outstanding Western Massachusetts educators and seeks to motivate teachers at all stages of their career. This year, we had 21 winners. Every year, there seems to be a different amount, but they are recognized as excellent teachers throughout all of Western Massachusetts. So raise a glass, clap your hands, shout hooray. If you want to know who they are, go ahead and check out the press release on MySPS or throughout the social media, Springfield K-12. A couple other announcements. Portals are open, so if you're looking to transfer between schools, the same is true for paraeducators. So portals open, everyone's available. I know we are getting ready to jump into MCAS season here, but first I just want to point those things out. Also, the school district has announced that it has begun its search for a new superintendent. So if you're looking for more information on that, just continue to follow along on MySPS. In blog news, for the last couple of posts, we focused on the Wakelet portfolio. There was the post, which was more the inspirational of why Wakelet portfolio is awesome. And then the second one, the most recent post, is all about how it is a very extremely useful tool and one that I think is probably the best on the market right now. And I don't just say that because I'm an ambassador for Wakelet. I truly believe that the way that they have it set up and laid out is excellent, and it allows students to have creative control over their portfolios. And then when those students leave the district, they're able to sign into their account, change the email, and then it becomes fully their own so they can take it with them wherever they go. Truly an awesome tool. I know they're even working on getting a LinkedIn connection with it, so keep an eye out for that. If you want to know the why, check out the previous blog post. If you want to know the how, check out the latest blog post. And with that, we're going to jump into level two of Power Up Your Classroom. So before we can go forward in our Power Up Your Learning book study here, one thing I would be remiss to point out is that we actually skipped over level two. I had it all written up, exactly what we were going to talk about. I had put my notes in the book and everything. And then I left the bookmark at the end. So I thought that the next episode was going to be on level three, which coincidentally it was. And I didn't notice it until I put up the previous episode that we did. So before we can move forward, we're going to go ahead and go back to level two and cover what was talked about in that chapter. The good news is this is not going to be a super long episode because there was not a super long amount of information. I know, it kind of works out pretty well for all of us. So for this week's episode, we're going to cover level two, Choose Your Own Adventure. Do you remember the days when the most exciting books we would read during school were the Choose Your Own Adventure books? Many of them had that white cover with some sort of picture on the front. We'd read a few pages, then it would give us a choice. If you want this to happen, go to page 74. If you want that to happen, go to page 95. And you would jump around in this book that you were reading. That's what the Choose Your Own Adventure books are. I know they're not as popular today as they once were, but those were the bee's knees when I was a kid. They were some of the most exciting books that a student could get their hands on. My kids love the new show Carmen Sandiego. Well, I say new. It's been out for a while now. It was on Netflix. It was starred Gina Rodriguez. Super awesome show. If you haven't watched it yet, you definitely should. Great animation, great storytelling. And because we're a house that reads, I found out that there was a bunch of books based on the show Carmen Sandiego. My boys at the time were just beginning to learn to read, so I thought this was a great opportunity to take something they love, a TV show, that had books that some went along with the episodes and some were completely new stories, and ordered them. Now, I wasn't prepared for what I found when I got them. They were choose your own adventure stories for Carmen Sandiego. I mean, how much more awesome could that be? Carmen Sandiego, one of the great shows on TV, one of the great characters of gaming in the last 40 years, had been reimagined for television. Yeah, that's right. Carmen Sandiego started out as a video game and a live action trivia game that kids would participate in. And now there's these great choose your own adventure books with characters from the newest show. If I were still a kid during this time, my heart would have jumped out of its chest. As I was an adult, it had a nice little pitter-patter. And remember, this level 2 is called Choose Your Own Adventure. Think about this. When was the last time you ordered out at a restaurant? Now, I'm not talking about stopping at the drive-thru and picking off of a board. I'm talking about like going and sitting down in a restaurant, you know, ones that have menus that they hand you. Or maybe they have these awesome boards with their meals up on the wall. Think like Olive Garden or Applebee's or something along that line. When you first saw their menu or the menu board, what do you think would be more exciting? Having a 7 to 8 page book with pictures and lots of different options, or going to a restaurant that has a handful of options with a couple of specials, or a place that only had 3 things and 2 specials. Each of those places gives you choice. I can drive down the road right now and past 5 different gas stations. 5. There's choice. In the town of Westfield, there are 5 grocery stores. 2 of them are the same, but there's 5. You have choice. Choice is something that we all love. Everything we do today is around this idea that gives us choice. We can choose our cell phone providers. We can choose where we shop for groceries. We can choose where we shop for clothes. We can choose where we want to go and hang out. Many, many moons ago, and by moons I mean years, and by years I mean I wasn't alive, we lived in a time that only had 3 TV channels. 3. CBS, NBC, ABC. And then PBS came along and we got 4. Today, though, we can choose from a litany of other options, and they're all on demand at our fingertips. Choice. Thousands of choices. Now, in this idea of choose your own adventure and connecting it to the classroom, our students might be a little overwhelmed if they were presented with their learning opportunities as hundreds of choices, or a menu with 20 choices even, or 10 choices. That might be a tad too many. But with a few small tweaks, we can create an environment for learning that our students will love that is fully gamified. And that's what the focus of this level and this chapter is. We want our students to take chances. To do this, though, we need to give students the ability to choose. The environment needs to be a place where failure can be celebrated as steps toward learning or steps towards achievement. And that's where game thinking comes in. In all these ideas of choice, one of the things we haven't really focused on is this idea in video games. If you fail and the choice you pick is wrong, you get to go back to where you last saved and pick up and try again. You don't lose all your progress, which leads to hours and hours of excitement and the joy of playing the game. This idea of failure is one that definitely stops students from even progressing forward if it's not in a good environment. For example, the authors on page 29 pull into the book the story from Anne Brucker's class. And there's a quote that she says that really sticks out to me that I think really illustrates this idea of failure as being something to be celebrated, as to show a sign of learning and growing. Listen to this thought. She called it an epiphany. I'm right there with her. As a teacher, I've been doing this wrong for 18 years. Shut up and let them struggle. So right before this quote, she was discussing how she thought she was being helpful to her students by giving them clues and hints, and maybe even the right answer that helps them get on track. It made me think back to my time teaching in the classroom and how I even did that all the time. I would be even willing to bet, because I've sat in people's classrooms for various reasons, where I've seen the teachers do that. In some ways, we're not really helping the students, because we're taking away some of the academic struggle that is required to help them continue to grow. I think struggle can be healthy, and the book even points back to that, pointing back to the games where you might die 20 times in Mario before you finally pass that castle. It happens. And we don't get discouraged, and we don't beat ourselves up. We just try and try again. Sure, we might yell at the TV because our buttons were not as fast as our mind was going. But ultimately, that practice and that struggle is what gets us to excel at it. I think if I were going back in the classroom today, I might even have a little note on my desk saying something along the lines of, "Let them struggle, dummy." That academic struggle is what's going to help sink in the mastery that you're looking for with your students. So I felt like the book takes an abrupt jump next, although it is connected, but it helps you think about a few critical elements when it comes to planning your game-based learning, your gamification, planning your classroom, and planning the ability to choose your own adventure. These elements can be summed up as the four D's. Determine your audience. Who is going to play and how familiar are they with the concepts? Is there any sort of additional teaching you're going to need to do for these students? Is there any sort of training you're going to need to do for these students? Do you do it at the beginning? Do you do it as needed? So you need to really think about your audience. The next D is determine your purpose. When it comes to the purpose, is the game or lesson designed to introduce a concept, explore a concept deeper, or will it be a review of a concept? All three of those require different things. If you're introducing a concept, you might be spending more time leading instead of coaching. If you're exploring a concept deeper, maybe you're milling around and coaching and pointing things out that students are doing well. Or if it's a review, you've already expected the students to understand this. So you need to be able to determine that purpose. The third D is determine your design. When you're designing your game or your lesson or your unit, how will you engage your students? What type of activities will you have for them? What standards are you going to set up for them? What are you going to set up for their choices? What are some expected failures that might happen? What does mastery look like? So that goes back to all into the design of what you are trying to accomplish in the classroom. And then the last D is determine the type of relationships. This is where the how and if players will work together and whether you will provide an opt-out or an opt-in choice. When I think about this as the book was pointing it out, the first thing I immediately thought of was how many times when I was a teacher, I tried to have the students group together and then everybody in the group had a role and then that role rotated so nobody was any one thing too many times in a row. But that is something that I had to determine ahead of time. So a lot of this stuff you already do with your lesson planning. Now it's taking it and shifting your thinking just a little. So when it comes to integration, my mind jumps to the first thing you need to do is lay out your objective. What standards are you going to cover? And what are the skills that are needed for that objective? When I read this in the book, it made me think back to the Star Wars game, the Fallen Order or Fallen Jedi, whatever it's called, that I've been playing. Pretty awesome game. But in that game, you have a purpose. You don't really know what that purpose is. You're just following along in the story. And then every so often, you get pulled out of the story and you get sent to a practice facility where they pose it as like you're remembering something that you might have repressed on how to do a certain skill that you need to be able to move forward. So when you are thinking about your integration and you're thinking about your purpose and your design, you're thinking about what do my students need to know to move forward and when do I introduce that to them? Do I introduce coding on the first day of a lesson where the main purpose of the lesson is for them to present their research on an explorer? Probably not. That coding part would probably come later because there's other things that are more important that needed to be met first. So that's where this idea of the integration comes in and thinking about your objectives and the standards and the skills that are needed. Throughout my reading of the chapter, I agreed with the authors a lot when they mentioned that there can be too much choice at times. One thing I would do as a teacher is I'd create a choice board for my students to use where they'd have 6 to 8 choices that they need to pick from. Or there was a middle space made up of a kind of choose your own adventure, choose your own project, and get it approved. This would allow students to create their own choice if they had a great idea that they can demonstrate their learning. The framework would allow students to have the opportunity of choice, but also ensure that they stay within the objective's boundaries. One thing I did notice, too, though, is if I had a choice board with 6 or 8 options, that might be 3 or 4 options too many for the students. So one thing I would suggest is maybe start with a smaller choice board, thinking about what is needed and what you are doing with your students and what you need to accomplish. Too much choice can be too overwhelming for your students. It's a difficult balance that you're trying to strike, and I recognize that. Hopefully you do too when it comes to giving students choice in the classroom. As this level wraps up, again, I want to make sure that we also point out the standards that each level includes. And I think it's important. And these in level 2 are 2 standards which will help you in the guiding of what you're doing. For educators, it is standard 6. The facilitator takes center stage. This standard is dedicated to cultivating an environment where students assume control of their learning objectives and results, whether they are working together or collaboratively in group settings. Your job and your standard, that facilitator standard, sounds very daunting. Facilitator is such a fancy word, I know. But really what it comes down to is you're being a coach. You are coaching them along in being able to meet and reach the standards and objectives that you set out for them. There's not a lot of in front of the class time with this particular standard. It is more focused on you coming alongside the students as they're working. Now, the other standard, the other one, is really focused on students. And that is standard 1, empower learner. This student-centric standard zeroes in on the empowerment of learners. It entails students articulating and establishing personal learning goals, employing technology to help them attain them, and engage in reflective practices concerning the learning process itself, ultimately enhancing the overall outcome that you are trying to reach with your students. This is probably the most exciting standard in my mind because it's student focused on them being able to articulate and set personal learning goals for the unit, for the lessons. And it helps them use the technology in a way that is practical and applicable, which is something that I always say when it comes to technology in the classroom. You shouldn't just use it for using its sake. It should have a purpose and one that makes more sense, that will help improve learning outcomes. So as we wrap up this episode today, think about how you can include more choice in your classroom. After all, this is level 2 of Power Up Your Learning, Choose Your Own Adventure. Thanks again for joining me today as I muse on about Power Up Your Learning. Thank you for, again, spending time with me as you're listening. Hopefully you've liked this episode and give us 5-star review for this SPS Digital Learning Hour. Head over to iTunes, Spotify, wherever you happen to listen to us. Make sure that you are subscribed there. If you are and you've left us a rating review, thank you very much. It is super appreciated. If there's something in here that you heard that would really help a teacher that you know, I encourage you to forward this episode to them. I love sharing ideas. We love sharing what we're doing here in the district. And I think that's gamified and game-based learning can really enhance a classroom experience, one that will remind the students for their entire life. I know I can think back to times in my education where gamified learning is what really stuck out to me and stuck in my mind on the things that I learned. If you know of anyone who'd be a great interview for the podcast here in Springfield, please let me know. I have a nice flowery letter I like to send out to all prospective podcast interviewees. I'm hopefully going to have some more of those lined up soon. As we are getting into test season, it always gets a little bit tougher to do. I thank you again for spending as much time with me as you have today. Hopefully you have a sunny day. This is Mike Thomas, the Bearded Tech Ed Guy, and this is the SBS Digital Learning Hour.